Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I'm ready when you are, sir.
My dear Wormwood, I apologize for my long absence in writing to you. In my excitement, I allowed myself to regress into a most undignified form. It seems the enemy delights in reminding us from whence he cursed us. I regret that I fell prey to an old trick. Nonetheless, my purpose in writing you today is to tell you that this will be my last communique. Unfortunately, news of your patient's recent activity has reached lower departments.
Praying continually, praising in spite of circumstance. Boy, your nephew has really blown it this time, sir.
I know. Stop interrupting.
Sorry, sir. Continue.
You understand, of course, when a patient advances in the enemy's camp as much as yours has, even I can't protect you. You are on your own now, I'm afraid. Your patient has begun spending time in prayer with the enemy daily. He's begun that excruciating habit of interceding for others. He's even begun disciplining himself to a consistent life of prayer, regardless of feelings, emotions, physical well-being, or trials. And now this.
What? What, sir? I haven't heard the latest. What else has Wormwood's patient gotten into?
Keep writing. You'll see. Receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as they call it, is, in a word, a death blow for you, I'm afraid. You see, when a patient is speaking in other tongues, their spirit is intermingling with the enemy on the spirit level, well past their mind, which is easy enough to manipulate. Praying in tongues puts them in direct communication. Not only that, but the meddlesome third person of the enemy gets involved in their prayers and starts actually praying through them.
Oh, the horror!
The path you're headed now is quite dangerous, which is why I must distance myself, I'm afraid. I did not get where I am by getting caught up in such things. You asked me once if I loved you. Of course, I have always desired you as you desire me. The difference is I'm stronger. I'm sure, given our relationship, that I'll get a piece of you in the end. Love you? Yes. As a dainty a morsel as ever I grew fat on, your increasingly and ravenously affectionate Uncle Screwtape.
Open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We are concluding our summer series on being a mighty warrior for Christ. We have been on a journey talking about the battle that our enemy has with us. Satan wants to see you dead. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he will stop at nothing at it. I want us to pick it up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and just remind us of where we have been the past several weeks that we've been looking at being mighty warriors for Christ. It says in verse 10, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The first week of our series, we talked about that there is a very real spiritual battle that is going on for the soul of every person on the planet. Just look around you right now. Every person in this room has a bullseye on their forehead by the enemy. From the littlest child that is here, I see a little 2-3-year-old in the back, to the person that has the grayest hair or the least amount of hair. Every person is in the enemy's sights. There is a battle for our soul. And in that first week, we talked about some of the different strategies the devil has in trying to defeat us. And I just want to encourage you, if you have missed any of these or you'd like to go back, you can go online to casperfaith.com. We have all of this series on there, so you can go back and listen to all of these messages, and they will be there for you. The second week, we talked about tightening the belt. It says in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This preceding weeks, we have looked at what is commonly called the armor. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We talked about there is a belt of truth. Just as when the Roman soldiers would go on duty, they would hike up their long tunic and fasten the belt around them. We need to take our emotions, all of the emotions that we have, and we need to gather them up around the Word of God and not live according to our emotions. It is easy to live by emotions. If it feels good, do it. You know, we base our intimacy with God on how we feel. Do we feel close to Him, or does He feel distant and far away? And we need to take every single emotion and compare it to the truth of God. And does this emotion line up with the Word? If it does, then that's okay to feel that way. If it's not lining up with God's Word, then we need to reject that feeling as not being part of God's will for our life. We need to tighten the belt. The next week we talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate of righteousness meant that we need to grow in faith and love. We need to protect our hearts. Our hearts are protected as we have more faith and love for God. Verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This refers to our mission. We have a mission from God, and that is to bring people closer to Jesus. To bring the unsaved person into fellowship with Him, and to bring those that are saved into a greater journey, a greater maturity. That's discipleship. And we need to have our feet ready everywhere we go to bring people closer to Jesus. Verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We learned how we need to look at Jesus at all times when we're under attack. When things are great, we're always looking at Him. And as we look at Jesus, it builds our faith. It is a shield that quenches all the darts, all the attacks the enemy would give. In verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. We talked about this is protecting our mind. That the battle for the mind is where things are won and lost. Because thoughts produce what? Do you remember? Thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce lifestyles. And lifestyles produce destinies. Our thoughts today determine our destiny tomorrow. And if we want a great future, it all begins with what we're thinking. We need to take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Last week we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We learned that we obtain victory as we learn how to wield the Word of God. And that we need to be a people that are, first of all, what? Reading it. Next, writing it. Next, we speak it. And last of all, we're playing it over like God's movie in our minds through meditation, memorization, and praying the Scriptures in our life, that the Scriptures are the foundation to make us mighty warriors. This morning, we're going to wrap up our series. Let's look at verse 18. It says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Friends, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. I want you to look at your bulletins this morning. Take out your bulletins. It says, when we work, but when we pray, God works. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. Prayer shows our dependence on God. To not pray is saying, God, I don't need your help. I can do life on my own without you. A life without prayer is devoid of life. Prayer produces life. It brings God into our life. Mighty warriors are prayer warriors. Let us pray today. Father, I ask this morning that you will teach us more about prayer. Lord, it's a topic we have heard since we are little kids, since we have been taught, now I lay me down to sleep, since we've learned our Father who art in heaven. Lord, we can sometimes just gloss over prayer, but Lord, prayer is the key. Prayer is where the power is. I pray that this morning you will do something in us to make us prayer warriors. You will do something in us that increases our appetite for prayer, increases our heart, our love for prayer, that would increase our love for you. Holy Spirit, speak to us now and change us. We give you that permission to do us. Speak to us. Lord, take the words that I say, and I pray that your message would become ingrained in the fiber of our being. Make us into the image of your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you want to be a prayer warrior? What does it mean to be a prayer warrior? Paul talks about that here, and he tells us, first of all, he says that we are to pray always, and he says, with all prayers and supplication, and he focuses on prayer. It's the very last thing, as he's wrapping up this whole aspect on the armor of God, he is talking about the importance of prayer. For us to be prayer warriors, we first need to understand what prayer is. If you're taking notes today, point number one, what is prayer? Prayer is moving myself towards God's will. Prayer is moving myself towards God's will. The word pray that Paul uses there is kind of funny because pray is a short word in the English. But in the Greek language, it's a long word. It's proseukamai. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say proseukamai, okay? And then say, God bless you. It's a compound Greek word. It comes from two words. Pros means moving towards something. Like right now, I am pros. I'm moving towards Bill Haller. That's pros. Eukamai means will or desires. So really what prayer is, it's moving my will towards God's will and desires. That is prayer. Prayer is moving towards God's will, towards God's ways, towards God's thoughts, towards God's desires for us. That is what prayer is. A lot of times, I remember when I was a kid growing up, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need your help with this, bless me with this, bless me with that. There was an old song that talked about, give me this, give me that, bless me, Lord, I pray, give me what I think I need to make it through the day, make me healthy, make me wealthy, grant my shopping list on my never-ending shopping list. And it's kind of like prayer is a shopping list. We've got this litany of things that we want God to do for us, for our will. But the very definition of prayer is not God fulfill my will, but the definition of prayer is Lord move me towards your will. That's a whole new concept of prayer for many of us, but prayer is really moving towards God's will. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who was sent to his room because he'd been bad. A short time later, he came out and he told his mom that he had prayed to God. And she says, well, that's fine. That's good as long as you ask God to forgive you and to help change you and become better. And he says, oh, no, I didn't pray for that. I prayed that God would help you to put up with me. Sometimes that's how we treat prayer. God, no, you don't change me. Just put up with me. Help others to put up with me. I want to stay the way I am. Don't change me. There was a man, his name was Ivan, and he was in a Soviet prison camp. And one day he had his head bowed, his eyes closed, and he was praying silently. And one of the other inmates said to him, "You need to stop praying. Prayer is not going to get you out of prison." And Ivan opened his eyes and looked at him. He says, "I'm not praying that God would get me out of prison. I am praying that I could do the will of God." Friends, that's what prayer is. Prayer is saying, "Lord, I want to do your will." Think of prayer in the context of a marriage, because Jesus is the groom and all the believers, we are the bride. We are in a marriage relationship with Jesus. But think about prayer in context of a marriage relationship. If I love my wife, then I am moving myself closer to her and closer to her desires. That means sometimes I move myself out of the lazy boy and I help her around the house. It means I move myself from the newspaper and from the television and I talk with her. It means that I help bathe the kids when they're little. It means that I am helping around the house. There's a fair distribution of labor. It means that we're going out on dates and that we're spending time. I am, why? Because that's what she wants and desires. It's not right for her to do it all and we're not connected. Moving closer to someone means I am moving closer to their will. I'm moving closer to their desires. What pleases her should please me. I know on her birthday, if she wants to go for Mexican food, we go for Mexican food, even though I'm not a big fan of Mexican. I can eat it, but hey, I'd rather do Italian. I'd rather do Chinese. I'd rather do burgers. I mean, Mexican's kind of way down there on the list. I mean, it's better than escargot. You know, it's better than some of those delicacies like, you know, pig brain or cow brain or something like that. But, you know, I would rather do my will, but on her birthday, I want to please her. That's part of celebrating her. And friends, that's one of our mission statements, the four C's on the wall, celebrating God. Part of prayer is saying, "Lord, I want to be with you and I want to please you." That's what my life is about, and that's what prayer is about. It's about pleasing God, moving my will towards His will. I know some people in a worship service, they come in a church, they raise their hands, they clap their hands, and they walk out saying, "Oh, I felt so close to God." But they are still living their life the way they were when they came in. There's been no change in them. I was talking to one of the men at men's breakfast yesterday, and he says, "Pastor, every time I come to church, I am saying, 'God, I want to be changed. Do something to me. Show me today, how can I apply the word that pastor's teaching? I want you to show me, what can I change? How can I become more like you?'" Friends, that's the attitude we need when we come to church. Because real intimacy with God, real worship is not about, "Oh, I just felt His presence in the music today." No, that's not worship. Real worship is moving my will closer to His will. It says what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, that we are a living sacrifice. "I urge you, brothers, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. For this is the acceptable will of God. This is your reasonable act of worship." Worship and loving God is tied in with obeying God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Prayer is not to be something, "I have to do this." Prayer is, "God, I love you, and I want to be close to you, and because of that, I want to move closer to your desires for my life, for my family, for those around me. Lord, I want your will at work. I want your will at school with my classmates. I want your will when I'm playing on the football field. I want your will in my life as I deal with conflict, as I deal with that person that I really don't like. I want your will." Prayer is moving my will towards His will. That is what prayer is. And if we don't understand that, we will not be powerful prayer warriors. So what is prayer? Say it to your neighbor. It's moving closer to God's will. Let's take a look at the second point that we need to develop in our life if we are going to be prayer warriors, and that is, when is prayer? Prayer is all the time. When do we pray? We pray all the time. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always. And it's to take place always at all times. It's not just something that we do for a set amount of period in our devotions. You know, I'm going to spend 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes or 60 minutes in my devotions, whatever your devotional time is with God. That is part of prayer. That is a vital part of prayer. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6. He said, you need to come away. You need to go into a secret place, a place where you're free from distractions, and there in secret, let your request be made known to God. We need a private place of prayer. Over in Africa, missionaries that go into the villages and see people saved as they teach people about prayer and about a secret place, a lot of times the people, they would walk somewhere out in the wilderness and find a tree or find a stone or find a place by a stream or something like that where they would go and make their prayer closet, is what it teaches in Matthew 6. And over time, the more they would go to that certain place, the grass would begin to wear out. It would wear out in that area. And over time, if someone would neglect prayer, the grass would start to grow up. And so believers would say to someone, they'd say, John, the grass grows long on your path. Friends, we need to have short grass on our path. There should be no grass on our path. God wants us to develop this habit of coming away and spending time with Him. You look at Jesus. Jesus was always withdrawing. He beat the path of prayer on a regular basis. We need a certain devotional time, but Paul says to pray always. Not just for your 15, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, however it is long your prayer time is, but praying always. So how do we do that? I mean, in your job, can you verbally be praying to God all the time? In some jobs, you can't. If you're doing accounting, you cannot. I've tried, okay? Sometimes I have to stop when I'm doing my bookkeeping, and then I pray, oh, God, help me find this mistake, you know. But trying to pray and talk to God when you're trying to think, man, and you maybe can do it, but I can't do it. Or if you're having to read something and pray about something else at the same time. But remember, prayer is moving my will towards God. And so if I am going through my whole day with this attitude of, Lord, move my will towards your will, then I can always be praying. I am always surrendering my will at work, in the supermarket, on the highway, when I'm with people, when I'm on the internet. I am surrendering my will to His will. Many times in our society, people think, I find fulfillment by indulgence. I find fulfillment by giving in to what I want. Friends, fulfillment comes through surrender. We will only be fulfilled as we surrender our life and our will to Jesus Christ. When we say, not my will, but yours be done, that's what Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. If we have this attitude of I'm always surrendering my life, that is an attitude of prayer. And this surrender takes place no matter what is happening. If you continue to look at verse 18, it says, at the end of the verse, it says, be watchful to this end with all perseverance. Perseverance means that you don't quit when the going gets tough. I once saw on this calendar, it was kind of a comic calendar, it showed this big stork swallowing a frog, okay? And the stork had a skinny neck, and the frog was halfway down the stork's throat, but his arms were not in the stork's mouth. And the frog had a hold on the stork's neck so that the stork couldn't swallow the frog, okay? Friends, that's perseverance. that's hanging on and say, this circumstance is not going to swallow me. I will continue to hold on to God. I will not stop looking at Him. I am going to persevere. And this attitude of saying, Lord, I want Your will, does not stop. Praying always means I persevere even through the tough times. Even when the going gets tough, I keep holding on and pressing through. Believers become prayer warriors when they're moving towards His will, and when we are always having this attitude moving towards His will, we pray at all times. The third key to being a prayer warrior that Paul teaches us is, how do we pray? And we pray with all kinds of prayer. If you're taking notes, we pray with all kinds of prayer. Let's take a look at verse 18. It says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The most basic type of prayer that we think of is petitioning God, asking Him for requests. But a mature prayer life utilizes many different kinds of prayer. Let's go back to the marriage example, the marriage analogy, that if we're in a relationship with Christ, there are times my wife and I, if we have a good communication, we will compliment each other, we'll praise each other, we'll say, I really appreciate it when you do this. You look great today. Hey, thank you for doing this. That could be likened in our marriage with Jesus as to praise. Lord, I praise You for Your kindness, praise You for Your faithfulness, praise You for Your wisdom, and we're praising God and we're developing praise in our life. There's times when my wife and I, we will ask for each other's help. We're having a problem and we ask for their input, for their advice. That could be likened to petition, to asking our requests in our relationship with Jesus. There's times when my wife and I offend each other, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, and we have to confess and apologize and make the relationship right. That could be likened to repentance and asking God for forgiveness when we sin against Him. There's times in our relationship where one of us, and it's usually this one right here, I'm pointing to me for those listening on CD, I just need to shut my mouth and listen. Dale, you don't have to agree so quickly. I just have to be quiet and listen to what she's saying. And not think about what I'm going to say, but just listen. And friends, we need to do that in our relationship with Jesus, because a lot of times we are so ready to pray, but not just be quiet and wait and hear what He says to us. Because prayer is not just talking. Prayer is listening to what God says as we read the Word, letting the Holy Spirit speak to us and minister to us, just getting away and lingering in His presence. It's waiting on God. That is prayer. I think some of the greatest mistakes we've made is that prayer is all about us talking. Sometimes I just need to come away and be quiet and say nothing and let Him speak to me. And there are also times that I need to not talk, but let the Holy Spirit talk through me. And how does He do that? Our video on the Screwtape videos talked about that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gives us a language that we speak that we don't know what it is. When I speak in tongues, I am saying words that I don't know what they are. And it's the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is actually praying through us. The Holy Spirit bypasses our thoughts, and He prays His thoughts for us. Sometimes He's praying for us. He may pray for our families. He's praying for... We don't know what He's praying, but it is a vital thing in prayer that in our prayer life, we are praying in the Spirit, that we're praying in tongues. If you're baptized in the Spirit, you need to make praying in tongues part of your arsenal, part of one of the tools of prayer in your life. Praising, in your notes, I've got an acrostic. I've used this acrostic to teach new believers how to pray and even young children how to pray. The P in your notes stands for praising God. We need to praise Him. The R stands for repentance. The A stands for asking Him our requests. Y is yielding ourselves. It's saying, God, talk to me. I'll do what you want to do. Show me what I need to yield. And the S is saying thank you. Those are some keys to praying. But another key is, if you're baptized in the Spirit, praying in tongues. As we begin to develop a mature prayer life, we become mighty warriors. And that's why Paul said, pray with all kinds of prayer. Because that's what a mature warrior does. That's what a mature marriage does. It has all kinds of communication, not just, honey, do this for me. Honey, do that. Honey, do this. Honey, do that. No, a mature marriage with Jesus has all kinds of communication, all kinds of prayer. Let's look at the last key that Paul gives us for being mighty prayer warriors. Number four, why do we pray? Why do we pray? The answer is for us to stand and for the gospel to advance. We pray for us to stand and for the gospel to advance. In verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And look at this phrase, being watchful to this end. What is the end that Paul is talking about? Well, he's referring back to verses 13 and 14 where he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The reason we pray is so that we can stand strong in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's one of the main goals of prayer. I want to stand strong. And the whole rest of the passage, he says, stand therefore, putting on the belt. Stand therefore, putting on the breastplate. Stand therefore, being ready with the shoes of peace for your mission. Stand therefore, with the shield, with the helmet, with the sword. Stand therefore, praying always. My desire is, Jesus, I want to stand in the closest relationship with you I can, because this is all about love. It's not about ritual. So many times we have made Christianity and prayer about ritualism and about doing the right things, but I pray because I love Him and I want to stand close to Him. I don't want anything to come between me and Him and my relationship with Him. I want my marriage relationship with Him to grow. And then what did Paul say? Paul moves on and he says to the believers, he says, and supplication for all the saints so that they're growing in their marriage relationship with Jesus, and for me that the utterance may be given that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We're to be praying for more people to come into a marriage relationship with Jesus, that the gospel would be advanced. And as I am praying, Lord, move me towards your will, move others towards your will. I pray for my unsaved neighbor, Dennis, that you will move in his life and you'll touch him. You'll show him his need to repent, your love for him, how much you care about him, that he would just open up his life as we are praying for God to advance in other people's lives. That's how we become mighty prayer warriors. That's how we see Satan lose the battle for souls in my life, in my family, in our church, in our community, in my neighbors, in my coworkers, in my classmates. People of prayer are moving their will towards His will at all times with all kinds of prayer, with an idea of, I want to be close to Jesus and I want every person that I come in contact with to be close to Jesus. I'd like our musicians to come this morning. Friends, Jesus says that we are the body of Christ. In other words, we are His hands and His feet. Look at your neighbor and say, you're His hands. What God accomplishes, He does through people. You look throughout history, and God is looking for a man or a woman to become His hands and His feet, to be His eyes, to be His ears, to be His mouth, to be His heart. God uses us. two errors we make a lot of times as Christians. We say, God, I don't want to be your hands and feet. I want to do my will. We're not moving towards his will. But another error we make is we say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'll be your hands and feet. But then we depend upon our own power to do his work. And in the very front of our message, we said that prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. Too much in the Church of America today, we depend on our programs, we depend on our preparation, we depend upon our energy to see God work. And we study and we plan and we do and we minister, but we have not bathed our efforts in prayer. We have not become prayer warriors and says, Lord, if you don't move, nothing will happen. I pray, God, you got to speak through me. Otherwise, nothing's going to take place in a Sunday morning when I communicate. Lord, you need to be speaking because you can say things to people that I can't say. And prayer needs to be part of my life. It needs to be part of our life. As the hands and the feet, we need to be in communication with the head and saying, Head, Lord Jesus, you move through us. You guide us. You say what needs to be done. You organize things. You help the right things come across people's path. We want you to work. Friends, if we're going to see God take Casper for his glory and honor, if we're going to see marriages be restored, if we're going to see teenagers that are wayward come back to Christ and get in the right relationship with their parents and throw out secular humanism and throw out the things of the world, if we're going to see people be broken of addictions, then we need to be people that are his hands and feet moving towards his will, but then praying and depending on God to do the work that we can't do ourselves. I have two questions I want to ask you this morning. Is the grass on your path growing long? Have you been getting away with Jesus and lingering with him and praying always? You're always coming to him. Is the grass on your path long, or has it been beaten down? Is it non-existent because you have this habit of, God, I love you and I want to be with you today? Oh, Lord, I just love to come into your presence. It is so wonderful to be with you. Oh, God, you do so much for me, but I just want to do so much for you. Are you just coming in and loving him and enjoying him on a regular basis in a daily walk? The second question I have is, your heart moving towards his will? Or are there things in your life God's tapped you on the shoulder and says, hey, what about this? You say, you can't talk to me about that. I'm not going to move towards your will on that. No, Lord, I'll come to church. Oh, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, thank you. Yes, oh, great service. But you can't change me. Friends, Jesus says, come away with me and let me change you. As we depend on him and we say, Lord, whatever you want, change me, we become mighty warriors. And as I'm a mighty warrior, and Gail's a mighty warrior, and Wendell's a mighty warrior, and Mike and Ellen, and as the whole body becomes mighty warriors, we become a mighty army that now can stand shoulder to shoulder and attack the enemy in this community.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.